WTFR.
We are sick and tired of the New York media dominating and controlling the news around the world. We are sick and tired of having to keep silent as the white genocide continues. Well, we're not remaining silent anymore. Scream from the fucking rooftops with Mike Sledge here on News White People Can Use, where truth and real news is called anti-Semitic.
Yes. Welcome, everybody. Great to be here tonight on the maiden voyage of news that white people can use with me, Mike Sledge, and let me get my radio voice back in shape here. You know, when you're out of training, you gotta get that radio voice back in shape. You know, you gotta talk with more bass in your voice. Robin. Like that Jew Howard Stern guy. Robin, does my voice sound okay, Robin? Yeah, okay. I hate that fucking kike. But anyway, welcome to the broadcast, the first broadcast. I'm so excited and to be here on WTFR, where thought is free radio. And I want to thank Sean Surplus for giving me the opportunity to be on his great, great platform. I also want to give a shout out. God, I hate using that word, shout out. I sound like a groid. Yo, man, I want to give a shout out to 107.9 FM in the Aussie Alpines, my niggle, and 1650 AM in Buffalo, New York. God damn it. Now I want some buffalo wings. That made me, Jesus Christ, I want some buffalo wings now. You know, I had an idea for buffalo wings, by the way, folks. An idea. A white nationalist buffalo wings restaurant. Could you imagine this? But it would be totally different. It would be like Himmler's Wild Wing Cafe. Himmler's Wild Wing Cafe. We would take like three buffalo wings and fry them together and make them into a buffalo wing swastika. And then dip them in some really hot Stormer fucking sauce. Some Fuhrer sauce. Oh my God, this sauce is so hot. It's like the Fuhrer. But the thing I wondered, if we actually did a white nationalist Himmler's Wild Wing Cafe, would the black people still want to eat there, is what I want to know. Would the black people still go to Himmler's Wild Wing Cafe? Would they still eat a fucking swastika buffalo wing or swastika buffalo wings? That would be funny. To see if they even walk in, you know. They walk in, the guy working there gives a Roman salute. Cigar! And here's the menu. we have our famous swastika wing. We also have our famous gas chamber wing, which it's $1.50 more if you want the special sauce, the Anne Frank sauce. But don't worry about that. I wonder if they still would like it. I could see them coming out now to like the news media, the Jews media in America going, yo, man, I went to this, goddamn, I didn't know it was a white nationalist wing spot, man. It was fucking insane, man. I went to this place, man, they had swastika wings, fool. Man, I couldn't believe it. Shit. But they have plenty of white women's in there. Fucking bastards. God, I hate them. Anyway, welcome to the first broadcast of News White People Can Use. And to start it off, I'm going to do a fireball shot, and by the way, I hate Fireball, by the way. I hate this liqueur, this Fireball liqueur. This was actually given to me by a friend of mine who said, I want to get this shit out of my house. I know you're an alcoholic. Will you drink this? I said, yeah, fuck it. Give it to me. I'll drink it. Because Fireball is like the alcoholic's toothpaste. Fireball is the alcoholic's toothpaste, folks. You know, you don't even have to brush your teeth in the morning. You just roll out of bed, you know, and do a shot of Fireball. Oh, God, so damn awful. It's so good. And I'm going to wash that down because I'm on WTFR, and Sean gave me the platform tonight. I'm gonna, and I'm sure you have better beers than Foster's in Australia, but in the States, this is all they promote as Australian is Foster's. So I went to the liquor store and I bought a oil can of Foster's. An oil can of Foster's. I got the green can. I wasn't sure. It's been so long. It's been like, I haven't drank Foster's since the 80s, you know? Since like Outback Steakhouse came out. So I wasn't sure which was better, the green can or the blue can. So I went for the green can, you know? So let me do a little sip of Foster's here. Yeah, it's not bad. It's better than Budweiser here in the States. Oh, God. A lot we're going to talk about tonight. And by the way, in the second hour, I will take phone calls if you want to call into this broadcast. I love phone calls. I love the freaks, the sickos, the weirdos, the Antifa. By the way, which is it, Antifa or Antifa? No one fucking knows. I turn on the news media, they say, you know, if it's like a more highbrow reporter, it's Antifa. Today, Antifa. You know, but I say Antifa because I'm a redneck in Georgia. I like to say Antifa, you know, Antifag. I'll even take Antifag phone calls if you want to call in. I have a lot of questions I want to ask you, like where do you buy the black bandanas for your face? Do you buy those wholesale online from a Jew distributor? Or do you go to Wally World, which would be Walmart for those down under? Or do you just park into a Walmart and buy a bunch of fucking cheap black bandanas? Or do your Jew parents actually pay for the bandanas and buy them retail? Oh! But anyway, I want to introduce myself to people that might not know who I am, okay? A little bio about myself to get this broadcast started. I have a very interesting life to get this started. A very interesting life. I'm going to go way back to introduce myself here, folks. My first girlfriend I dated, I'm ashamed to say, was actually Jewish. Oh, my God. I'm ashamed to say it. My first girlfriend was actually fucking Jewish. And the bitch broke up with me. She broke up with me. I said, why? Why? She goes, oh, there's over 6 million reasons why I'm leaving you. And that's when I realized, folks, I was not part of the fucking tribe, okay? And this broadcast, if you're easily offended, turn the shit off right now. If you're easily offended, please turn the shit off. If you can't laugh, turn the shit off, because I love to laugh. You know, never take yourself too seriously. The day you take yourself too seriously is the day that you will not reach your goals, okay? The key to life, because life in the end is a fucking joke. You know, and in the end, if you take yourself too seriously, you will fucking lose the game of life. This is a game, folks. And because we are the master race, we were born to win it again and again. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's just the fact we're the master race. We're born to win it. So in the game of life, we don't have to take ourselves seriously because we're predestined to rule the world. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? Well, let me describe to those out there, especially on the FM and AM affiliates that have never heard of my broadcast, let me explain the type of guy that I am, okay? The type of guy. I'm the type of guy, okay? I'm the type of guy that on a Saturday, on the fucking Sabbath, the Jew Sabbath, will go into a Jewish deli, a Jewish delicatessen, with a smoked pork shoulder in my fucking hand and order the largest bowl of matzo ball soup they have. Order it. Sit at the front table facing the deli counter in front of the Jew. Force the pork shoulder into the matzo ball soup. Give a Roman salute while he just stands there going, oh, God. You're committing genocide with my fucking food. Oy vey. Oy gewalt. You're committing genocide with my fucking food. Well, you know, here's what I figured out, folks. If we can't win in politics, we need to start a new movement. The key to white nationalism, folks, is to start a new movement here. It is called food genocide, okay? They won't let us participate in politics. They won't let us challenge the Oy Vey system. So I came up with a new idea. It's called food genocide. What we do is we show up to ethnic restaurants because, you know, we live in a multiculturalist society now, right? A multiculturalist society. And by the way, you know, on the left, they always say, the multiculturalism is great. Okay, I'm going to do Seinfeld now. The multiculturalism is great. I mean, come on. We have all these different restaurants. I mean, what is up with that? It's absolutely amazing. It's amazing. We have Thai. We have Chinese. We have Jew. We have Korean barbecue. Okay? Okay, Oy Vey. Well, so hear me out. Here's my plan. That we commit food genocide against our enemies. No bullets are fired. You can't be arrested for a hate crime for this. Not yet. They're working on it. I'm sure they're working on it. But the key to food genocide is that we get like a flash mob. You know how like the Groids have like flash mobs where they invade like Walgreens and CVS and steal a bunch of fucking Cheetos and Doritos and shit? Well, my idea is that we have a white nationalist flash mob that storms Jewish delis and Thai restaurants and does everything opposite of what they do. Like I said, we show up to a Jewish deli and throw a fucking pork shoulder in their matzo ball soup. Oh my God, you're killing me over here. You're fucking killing me over here. Oh, that's crazy. Most of my friends, getting back to my bio for the new listeners, because I want the new listeners to know who I am, my background a little bit. In my early 20s, I accidentally got involved with white nationalism. Accidentally. I was actually headed to a pub to drink some good liquor and get drunk and who knows what else. And there were some white nationalists on the street corner and they were yelling out and screaming. And I fucking got so excited. I joined. I signed up. I said, well, sign me up. I agree with everything you say. Well, I mistakenly thought they were yelling, white powder, white powder. And I was like, oh, fuck, white powder. Yes, white powder. I was dumb. This is my degenerate days. Sorry. Anyway, hell victory, white powder. Turned out to be they were saying white power. Down the road, I agreed with them. So here I am. I kind of went with it. I kind of just rolled with it. Boy. I tell you what, by the way, if Sean is out there, I have a new idea for a broadcast on WTFR Radio. This is a great idea. It's called the Sorry, I can't say it like he says. He says Ren Grenade. I can't, you know, it's like a tongue twister. I love the accent down there. God, I have a redneck fucking southern accent. But I can't say, I have a hard time saying Ren Grenade. So I say Rentagay. It's like the closest thing I come up with. But this would be a great idea for a show here on WTFR. And it would be the Ren Grenade Survivors. Yes, the Ren Grenade Survivors. Forget about Auschwitz. Forget about Treblinka. Forget about all that shit. Forget about the holohoax, the fake holohoax survivors. Those who survived Ren Grenade broadcasting are the real fucking survivors. We're the real survivors. We survived defamation of character, character assassination, lies, and we're still here. And so every week, we could have a new survivor from the real Holocaust. Not the holohoax, the Holocaust of Ren Grenade. We could have a new host that got fired from Ren Grenade every week, and we could call it the Ren Grenade Survivor Hour. And we have a whole hour every week with a former host. Because if you look at how many hosts have been fired from over there, it's fucking unbelievable. It's like 300 fucking people. They all suck, you know? You got to get out of here like... I'm trying to do my cyanide now. Hold on. Like, oh my God, like, I'm a vegan and I'm a Nazi. And like, I don't like you because I heard that you ate a piece of bacon. And it's time for you to fucking go. Get the fuck off my network. And then Kyle's like, you know, in the kitchen cooking, you know, because, you know, she can't cook. She's a fucking vegan. What's she going to cook? I guess he's a vegan, too. But he's in the kitchen making like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so every week we have a new survivor from the alternative media holocaust of Ren Grenade Broadcasting. And they talk about how they survived. And we could even, here's another idea I have. We could even have, like, you know how, like, in Hollywood, they have, like, survivors of, like, AIDS, and they wear, like, the red pendant, the red ribbon on their fucking clothes. Or for, like, cancer, they have, like, the pink ribbon that they wear in their clothes. I got it. We could have our own fucking ribbon pendant for the survivors of Ren Grenade. For the survivors of Ren Grenade, we could have our own fucking pendant, or a ribbon pendant. It'll be a white ribbon with fucking inverted red swazis. I'm the real survivor. Forget about you. I was gassed. I was gaslighted years ago. You fuck. So that's my idea. Think about it, Sean. I think it would be a great idea. I think it'd be a great idea worth thinking about. You know, just saying. But yeah, it's great to be here. I have a lot of topics I want to talk about tonight. Like I said, in the second hour, we will take calls if anybody dares to call in. I remember I heard this call on Tabitha's show the other night. It was sound like some fat, drunken slob who called in talking about, look, like I said earlier, you want to call in the second hour, call me. I love to take phone calls. If you're a Antifa, anti-fag, whatever the fuck you are, call in. I want to know how you ordered your fucking black bandanas. If you're a fat slob, useless man or man child who's in your parents' basements with Cheetos dick and Cheeto stains on his dick from jacking off to Pornhub all day and are drunk on fucking Ice House, call in. I'm not afraid to talk to you. I love all the freaks, the sickos, the weirdos, because this show, through a comedic level, is going to prove. Folks, I don't even have to write material anymore. I just look at the fucking news. I watch Fuck News. I watch LSD, NBC, all these different networks. I don't have to write fucking material. The material is right there. It's right there in front of me. I don't have to say anything anymore. So, you know, when you call in attacking this network, you prove the point that we live in a sea of fucking degeneracy. And we want to hear you. So don't be ashamed. Come out of the closet. I understand you might have had a bad bar mitzvah, a bad circumcision. Maybe your dick's not feeling good. Maybe they cut off too much skin. You're upset. You want to call in. That's fine. We'll take your calls. You know, whatever you're upset about. You had a bad childhood. You were dropped on your head. You know, you want to call me a racist? I love that because I am. I'll proudly tell you I'm a racist. I'm a racist. There, how do you like it? I think we're the master race and we're going to take over the world once again. And when we do, you guys are in real fucking trouble. Let me tell you something. Real fucking trouble. Never forget it. But getting into the news, I have some great news clips I want to talk about tonight. Did you see this? This is this is funny. This is from the BBC, the Big Black Cock Network. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, the British Broadcasting Network. Well, they might as well be called the Big Black Cock Network because that's all they want to talk about anymore over there. But the BBC, the British Broadcasting Network. Holocaust survivor under guard amid death threats. Listen to this shit, folks. Listen to this shit. An 89-year-old Holocaust survivor in Italy has been assigned police guards for protection after receiving hundreds of threats on social media. On social media, folks. On social fucking media. Well, first of all, let me say this. This 89-year-old kike probably called her friends up at the nursing home and was like, she has like a jitterbug. She don't have a real cell phone. She has a fucking jitterbug. A jitterbug. Yeah, a jitterbug, not a jitterbug. For those that from out of the States don't know what a jitterbug is, like this cell phone that's like a big-ass flip phone for old people, for like boomers now that are wasting away on their prune juice IVs in the Fox News nursing homes. It's called the jitterbug, and they have huge fucking numbers on it, you know, because they can't see anymore. Oh, my God. They're fixing to die. Isn't it great? It's so fucking great. I can't wait till they're gone. But anyway, they have this thing called the jitterbug. I call it the jitterbug. And I can see she's probably like in a – she probably has a place in like Milan, Italy, and then probably in West Palm Beach, you know, and she's on her jitterbug. Beep, 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 beep.
Can I speak to Mariel? Mariel, I'm receiving so many death threats on my social media.
I mean, first of all, what old 89-year-old fucking Jew kike is on social media? They don't even know how to operate a fucking cell phone, more or less make a Facebook post, a Facebook post. Are you fucking kidding me? This story already is fraudulent, you know, because the only people that spray paint swastikas on synagogues are Jews. So they can prove there's actually, oh my God, look, it's a swastika. Well, you did it wrong. It looks like the fucking chicken wings at fucking Heimler's Wild Cafe, you fucking bitch. Get out. Anyway, so this 89-year-old Holocaust survivor in Italy has been assigned police guards for protection after receiving hundreds of threats on social media. Okay? It says, Liliana Segre. I can tell she's a Jew already. Look, I love the Italian people. I know a lot of Italian people. Or in Georgia, as we call them, Italians, man. I knew this girl. She was Hey, you want to go eat some Italian? Liliana Segre, who was sent to the notorious Auschwitz death camp at 13, has been subjected to a barrage of anti-Semitic messages in recent days. It comes after Mrs. Segre, an Italian life senator. A life senator. They have fucking life senators over there, which is kind of like, you know, the nursing home for fucking Jews. You know, by the way, we have, by the way, folks, for those not in the States, in the United States of America, we have a nursing home for seniors in this country as well. It's called the fucking Congress. Is what it's called. It's called the United States fucking Congress. It's a Jewish fucking nursing home, folks. The United States Congress is a Jewish fucking nursing home, okay? Oh, and by the way, since we're talking about Italy and Jews, you know how you can tell, how you can spot a Jew in Italy? You can spot a Jew in Italy because they're the ones that own pizza restaurants. Yes, they're the ones that own fucking pizza restaurants. Because you see, there is no pizza in Italy, not like we have in the States. That's all fucking bullshit, okay? In Italy, okay, they don't really have pizza like we have over here. So if you see like a fucking Domino's Pizza G or a fucking Pizza Hut, nigga, that is Jew-owned. So you can spot the Jews in Italy. For those in Italy that might be listening on the World Wide Webs, the internets, you can find the Jews in nursing homes or owning pizza restaurants. Anyway, getting back to the article here, it comes after Mrs. Segre, an Italian life senator, called for Parliament to establish a committee to combat hate. Can you believe this? A committee to combat hate. They're doing the same thing in this country, the United States of America, folks. The motion passed despite a lack of support by Italy's right-wing parties. Members of the Nationalist League Party, led by Matteo Salvini, the center-right Forza Italia, and the far-right Brothers of Italy, all abstained from the vote in Milan last week. You know what? I got to give him credit here. I got to give Salvini credit. I got to give the Italians and the right in Italy credit. They abstained. Which is better than saying no, because by abstaining, you say, I don't want any part of this kike shit, you know? I don't want no part of these fucking kikes, you know? Fuck them. I don't want no part of this shit. So they abstained, but they're still not the majority there yet, so they still couldn't win the vote. But this would never happen in the United States of America. You'd have every GOP senator, and by the way, the Republican Party, you know, it's known as GOP in the United States of America. I call it the GOP because it is so Jewy, it's unreal. The GOP would have voted for this with the Democrats, with the Judaic left. They would have voted for it. Remember, the right and left are just wings of the same Jewish bird of prey. It's all a fake game, folks. It's all the left-right Hegelian dialectic paradigm we live under. But listen to this. So the motion called for the establishment of an extraordinary commission in Italy to combat all forms of racism, anti-Semitism, incitement to hatred and violence on ethnic and religious grounds. Ms. Segre said after the vote that the abstentions made her feel like, quote, listen to this, that the abstentions made her feel like, quote, like a Martian in the Senate. Oy vey, oy gewalt. You are a Martian, you fucking bitch. You're a Martian. You are more E.T. than fucking E.T. You are so alien and such a fucking parasite. You shouldn't be allowed to sit in any Senate. You've been kicked out 109 fucking times. You fucking, what is this, fucking Alf? This bitch looks like, I'm looking at her now. I'm looking at the picture of the article. This bitch, this chick, Miss Segre, Liliana Segre, the Italian Jew, she looks like fucking Alf from the 80s sitcom. She's got the big nose, the fucking swoop over. Looks like she's going kike bald. She's got the fucking swoop over hair going on. She looks like goddamn Alf. Yeah, she came out of a UFO, folks. A UFO. Can you believe this? A fucking UFO. So,
I feel like, I feel like a Martian in the fucking Senate.
She said, quote, I appealed to the conscience of everyone and thought that a commission against hatred as a principle would be accepted by all, she said at the time. Italy's La Repubblica reported in Italy. Since then, she has reported receiving as many 200 hate messages a day. They're her friends on the Juderbug from the fucking nursing home. Rupert Murdoch's got the Fox News over there in Italy. They're sitting in the fucking nursing home calling on the Juderbug.
Please give me fake threats.
And I'm reading some of these so-called threats, and you can tell they're from senior citizens. One says, get your cloven hoof out of my prune juice, you Jew kike. Come on. Would one of us ever send a message like that? Get your cloven hoof out of my prune juice, you Jew kike. There's no fucking way, folks. Oh, God. Listen to this. Here's the good part. Miss Segre was born in Milan in 1930. She fled Nazi persecution in Italy with her father in December of 1943. You know, Hitler, before I continue with the article here, let me just say one thing here. Hitler was horrible in exterminating the Jews. Okay, let me just say this. There are more of them alive today than there were in this so-called Holocaust thing, you know? You know, and it's funny, they all survived, right? They're all here. You know, if it was a real Holocaust, I wouldn't be hearing from this bitch. She wouldn't be in the fucking Italian Senate. She wouldn't be getting her kike friends in the nursing home drinking prune juice to fucking send bullshit text messages to fucking Twitter on a fucking Juderbug, okay? It wouldn't happen. Oh, God. Folks, you can't make this stuff up, folks. I mean, this is real DEFCON 5, DEFCON 6. Jew shit taking place, folks. This is unfucking believable. Roger Stone's coming up after the break, by the way. Anyway, along with other Jewish prisoners that evacuated from Auschwitz in January 1945, Miss Segre was taken to the Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany. Weeks later, she was transferred to another camp. All right, I hear the music. We'll pick it up on the other side. News, white people can use. This is Mike Sledge, WTFR. Stay tuned.
If a racist is a person that recognizes the differences between race and then identifies the superiorities and inferiorities between those different races, then yes, I am a racist. And I wear that title proudly, and I think that you should too. There is something beautiful about being able to recognize the differences between races, but there's something even more beautiful in having the freedom to be able to notice the differences when it comes to the superiorities and the inferiorities between those races.
Yes, yes, welcome back. News that white people can use. A little Alice Cooper there, and no, he's not a Jew. That was good Alice Cooper from the 1970s. Hello, hooray, let the show begin. I've been ready. Anyway, getting back to Lillian Segre, this ALF, this alien. Well, she said it, not me. She said that she felt like a Martian in the Senate. She is.
gee, Willie, when I escaped the gas chambers in Auschwitz and Treblinka, I got a big nose in my hair when I went to a UFO. Well, gee, Willie, do you think I'm ALF?
By the way, for the millennials listening, you probably have no idea who fucking ALF is. Maybe somebody in the chat could post a picture of ALF. She looks just like, or I don't know what the fuck, he's probably some Jew behind a fucking, probably like Jim Henson's Muppet, you know? He looked like a Dark Crystal. he looked like a Dark Crystal version of Robert De Niro, okay? he could have been on Goodfellas, you know?
You find me funny, Willie? Like, funny? Like how, Willie? Like, Willie, like, you find me funny? Like, really? Like, you find me funny?
Anyway, so this ALF bitch, this Jew, is coming out of her UFO. And it says, along with other Jewish prisoners that were evacuated from Auschwitz in January 1945, Miss Segre was taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany, blah, 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 where she stuffed diamonds up her ass, and then she shitted them out later. I was tortured with ballpoint pens, the same ones that were used to write the Anne Frank diary. Oh, God, are you kidding me? She was tortured with ballpoint pens didn't even exist back then. Are you kidding me? Just like Anne Frank. Oh, God. I can't take it anymore. Anyway, okay, I made that up. It's not really in the article. I just thought it would be funny.
I went, and they took me to the chamber, and I was stabbed over and over again after with ballpoint pens in 1943.
Okay, bitch, whatever. Keep the diamonds up your ass. I'm going to keep on talking here. Weeks later, she was transferred to another camp operated by the Nazis, which was eventually liberated by the Soviet Red Army. Are you kidding me? Liberated by the Soviet Red Army?
She was liberated by communism.
It makes total sense that she would be liberated by communism, because remember, communism is Judaism. Judaism is communism. Going back to the 1928 World Jewish Congress, what did they say? They said communism is Judaism put into political form. That is what communism is. Zionism is communism. They are synonymous. So, of course, the United States of America and the British Yiddish at that point, being overthrown by Cromwell years ago, and Winston Churchill, who was a Jew, by the way, would have teamed up with Stalin, a Georgian Jew, to liberate these parasites from Europe. Of course they were liberated by the Red Army. By the way, you know why the Soviet and communism has the red flag as their symbol? It's the symbol of the house of Oive Rothschild. You remember? Rothschild translates to Red Shield. Rothschild, Red Shield. So that's why the Antifa have the red flags. Communism had the red flags. You know, the Third Reich was funny. They played a little joke. They put the white circle with the swastika on top of the red. Which is pretty funny, by the way. Which means they were going to dominate the red. They're going to overthrow the Rothschild, the Red Shield. Yes, folks, I look at this kind of stuff. I analyze this kind of stuff. This is what you got to do when you do these shows. You got to analyze this kind of stuff. You got to break this shit down. So yeah, of course she was liberated by the Red Army, the Red Shield Army, the Rothschild Army. And by the way, when the Red Army, when the Soviet Red Army came into Germany, just check out what they did to the women there, to the beautiful German women that they abused and raped and tortured. It is a disgrace. It is a fucking disgrace. Even if they claim the fucking numbers they claim that died in these so-called camps, it would be nothing compared to the millions that died in the bombing of Dresden. The bombing of Dresden. The millions of people that were genocided in the bombing of Dresden by the Red Shields, by the Oives, by the communists. This history is very important to understand. So it goes on in the article here. Miss Lillian Segre was made an Italian senator for life by President Sergio Mattarella in January 2018. Italy has a population of about 30,000 Jews. Now listen to this. More than 7,500 Italian Jews died during the Holocaust. Now think about this for a second. Italy has millions of people. This article from Big Black Cock, I mean the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, they admit in this article here that Italy has a population of about only 30,000 Jews. How in the fuck does 30,000 Jews have all this control and life senators in the Italian parliament? How the fuck does 30,000 Jews in Italy tell the Italians what to do? Get the fuck out of here. To quote Tony Soprano, yo, you don't like living over here? Get the fuck out of here, you fucking bitch. Go to West Palm Beach. Go to fucking Naples, Florida. Get the fuck out of here. You hear me? Get the fuck out of here. What, you got fucking pizza restaurants? Get your Domino's. Get your Pizza Hut. Get your Kike Hut. Get the fuck out of here. Go back to fucking Florida, you fucking bitch. Go die drinking your prune juice, watching fucking Sean Hannity in a nursing home in fucking Hollywood, Florida. Okay, over here, I'm sick of this shit already. Okay, I got fucking gorillas coming in from fucking Africa, swamping my fucking continent, my fucking country over here. I got Salvini; he's trying to stop this fucking shit. And you on your fucking Judah bug. 30,000, take your shit, pack your shit, and get the fuck out of here, okay? So anyway, so there you go. That's what's going on in the state of Italy. But you know what? I got to give Italy credit. At least they had the balls. They had the fucking balls over here. You know what I'm saying? The fucking balls. To abstain from the fucking vote, some of these guys. Some of these guys are some real made men over there, you know, in the Salvini party. I can see them now. They're like these real old school made men. They're like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm trying to sell fucking olive oil coming in from Sicily. God damn it, coming in from this area. I got to go to fucking Milan. What the you telling me that this Alf, this fucking alien bitch who's a life senator, is going to tell me what the fucking say in my fucking... Get the fuck out of here. Oh, God. So there you go. That was news that white people can use, and I'm standing proud with the Italians, with the real Italians, man. With the real... Dude, I used to have a friend of mine. This is off topic a little bit. I'll get to the next news story for news white people can use in a minute, but I want to share some things with you because I think it's important. When you do radio, you got to share personal shit because it makes it more, you know, you want to connect with the fucking audience, you know, with the listener. So, you know, I used to have this friend, a great friend of mine. We used to ride BMX bikes back in the day down here. And his dad was like old school racist, you know, but he was like redneck racist. And he would say things like, we go over there. Like, I remember one time we were riding our BMX bikes and this black guy, this groid, tried to steal. We were in like a fucking 7-Eleven trying to get a big gulp. You want a big gulp? A big gulp? Go to the back. You've been here 3 hours. You buy a big gulp. You buy my big gulp. Yeah, they were dot heads back then too. But anyway, he was trying to get a big gulp. A big gulp. And he didn't have his bike tied down. You know what I'm saying? And so this groid came up. It was like the projects were like 2 blocks behind where my friend lived and behind the fucking 7-Eleven. And he came up and tried to steal the bike, and we came running out. We're like, hey, motherfucker, give us our bike and all this. So he ran off, you know. And so we rode our bikes back to his parents' house, and he told his dad, he's like, Dad, this black guy tried to steal my bike. He goes, son, I don't want to hear this shit. Okay, man? I don't want to hear this shit today. This ain't the day to hang a fucking... Anyway, going back to a different story. But he used to say Italian. I remember one time I said, hey, we're going to get some Italian food at the pizza place down the street. You want to come with us? Because I was good friends with his family. And he would go, son, are you kidding me? I don't want no goddamn Italian food. I said, well, we'll get some Chinese in. How about that? He goes, son, are you fucking kidding me? I don't want no goddamn chink slope food. That's for the Chinaman on the railroad, boy. Who are you kidding? So anyway, thought I'd share that. Getting to the other story. Speaking of monkeys and groids, orangutan. Well, actually, it's orangutan. Orangutan. You know, growing up, the way I grew up, I always thought it was orangutan. Didn't you think it was called orangutan? I mean, you know, but it's actually orangutan. I always thought it was orangutan because, you know, I used to like Tang, you know, the only good thing the space program came out with when I was a kid. And it had the fucking orangutan drinking the Tang on the fucking label of Tang. So I thought it was orangutan, orangutan. Anyway, listen to this shit. This is fucking great, folks. This is going to make your day. Orangutan. I think it sounds funnier when I say orangutan, though. But anyway, orangutan granted personhood settles in new Florida home. You can't make this shit up, folks. A fucking orangutan has been granted personhood, folks, and settles into new Florida home. Listen to this shit from the AP, Associated Press. Wachula, Florida, a 33-year-old orangutan was granted legal personhood by a judge. This is obviously a Masonic fucking monkey. This is a Masonic fucking orangutan. Are you fucking kidding me? A 33, folks, 33 degrees, folks, Germanic death cults. 33-degree Germanic orangutan was granted legal personhood by a judge in Argentina who was probably also a Freemasonic lawyer who worked for the Bilderbergs, most likely going back to the Warren Commission and the Kennedy assassination. By the way, Roger Stone just wrote a book on this. It's called 33 Degrees of Trump and the Orangutan Revolution Invasion Coming Over the Southern Border. But anyway, in Wachula, Florida, a 33-year-old orangutan was granted legal personhood by a judge in Argentina and is settling into her new surroundings at the Center for Great Apes in Central Florida. Patty Regan, or Reagan, I don't know how you fucking, looks like it, maybe it might be a dot head, I don't know.
It might be. Thank you for coming, I'm Patty Regan, thank you. The 33-year-old Freema Sonic Orangutan is coming into Florida. She's settling in, she's feeling great. We have a center for grape apes in Central Florida. By the way, we have new scratch-offs here for the holidays. By that, I'm doing a big gulp.
Anyway, I think it might be Patty Reagan, though. So let me just continue. It would be funnier if it was like a dot head.
Patty Reagan.
Director of the center in Wakulla, Florida, says Sandra, that's her name, is, quote, very sweet and inquisitive. And adjusting to her new home, she was born in Germany. Oh, God, here we go again. Now we have a link to Germany. See this? They're going to blame this on the Germans as well. They're going to blame orangutan personhood in Florida on the fucking Germans. It's a Nazi conspiracy to create orangutan super soldiers to get rid of the Cubans in Florida. I can hear it already. I can hear it. God damn it, I can hear it already. She was born in Germany and spent 25 years at the Buenos Aires Zoo. That's in Argentina. And remember, this is important. This 33-year-old Freemasonic monkey, orangutan, you know, that's the rat line. You remember? The Nazis, right? The evil Nazis that escaped from Germany. Where did they go? They went to Argentina. Remember they said that Hitler might have survived and lived in Argentina. This article is so much going on in so many ways. It's unbelievable, folks. Absolutely unbelievable. So she was born in Germany and spent 25 years at the Buenos Aires Zoo in Argentina before arriving in Florida on November 5th. Quote, she was shy when she first arrived. But once she saw the swings, toys, and grassy areas in her new home, she went out to explore, Reagan said. Quote, she has met her caregivers here and is adjusting well to the new climate, environment, and the other great apes at the center. This is the first time in over a decade that Sandra had the opportunity to meet the other orangutans, and she will meet them when she chooses. It's a new freedom for her, and we are grateful to provide. Judge Alana Liberatore's, oh God, here we go. Jew alert. Alana Liberatore. Let me tell you, that's a crypto name. I'm telling you. Landmark ruling in 2015 declared that Sandra is legally not an animal, but quote, a non-human person, thus entitled to the same legal rights enjoyed by people and better living conditions. Quote, with that ruling, I wanted to tell society something new, that animals are sentient beings and that the first right they have is our obligation to respect them, end of quote, she told the Associated Press. But without a clear alternative, Sandra remained at the antiquated zoo. Sounds like a concentration camp. The antiquated zoo. Anyway. Which closed in 2016 until leaving for the United States in late September. She was in quarantine for a month. Oh my God, she's a survivor. This Sandra the orangutan is a fucking survivor. Are you kidding me? She's a fucking survivor. She was in quarantine for a month at the Sedgwick County Zoo in Kansas. Now, I have to admit, to be quarantined in Kansas for a month is like being in a real concentration camp, folks. I'm not going to fucking lie. I mean, my mom originally was from Kansas. And I got to tell you, I went there for a family reunion one time. And it was like, God, get me the fuck out of here. I don't mean to diss Kansas. I'm sure there's a lot of good people in Kansas, but I got to tell you, I felt like I was in a concentration camp. a cornfield fucking concentration camp in fucking Kansas. That's what I felt like, folks. In a cornfield fucking concentration camp. Anyway, but I digress. I digress, folks. So she was in quarantine for a month at the Sedgwick County Zoo in Kansas before arriving in Florida. At the center, Sandra joins 21 orangutans and 31 chimpanzees rescued or retired from circuses, stage shows, and the exotic pet trade. I'm sorry. But these sound like true survivors, you know? Sounds like Weimar Germany, you know? The exotic pet show trade. All the weird shit they had going on there with the bestiality and all kinds of crazy shit in the 1920s. She was retired from circuses, stage shows, and the exotic pet trade. Oh, God. So there you go. Orangutan granted personhood settles into new Florida home. And it makes total sense, folks. They always go to Florida, don't they? You know, they always end up in Florida. They always end up with the condo. Oh, God, I got a condo in Palm Beach. Naples. Oh, God, St. Petersburg, Florida. Oh, it's the best. Oh, the sunshine, the fresh-squeezed Oy Vey orange juice. Speaking of fucking monkeys, I have a clip that I want to play. Another person was killed at a Popeye's Chicken. Let's listen to this clip real quick, goddamn, into fireball shot, of the Popeye's Chicken massacre from 2 days ago in Maryland, in Maryland, if you got that clip. Let's go ahead and roll with it.
When we lose a life in our county, it is devastating to those who know the victims. It's devastating for our communities. But today's details, it's just hard to put into words as to what happened here. So tonight at 7 o'clock, we got a call for a stabbing. There was a argument that began inside the restaurant behind me. It's between two adult males. That argument spilled out into the street. And one male stabbed the other. The victim, a 28-year-old man from our area, was rushed to a local hospital. Our police officers arrived on scene. They pulled out their medical trauma kits, and they began to apply life-saving measures on him here at the scene, and then he was transported to the hospital. About 51 minutes after the initial incident, we believe, is when he was pronounced dead at the hospital. What we have since been able to determine through our investigation, our homicide detectives are hard at work on this one, but we have been able to determine that preliminarily that this is related to the release of the sandwich here at this restaurant, that this individual was in line, a line specifically for the sale of the sandwich when another customer and he got into an altercation. And that ended with the victim being stabbed outside of the business. We are asking, there were many people in the store at the time, we were asking for anyone who was in the store at the time to please come forward and speak with our detectives. We are asking the person who did this to come forward.
Who are you looking for?
We're looking for a male, and that male knows who he is. He knows what he did here tonight, and he needs to do the right thing, and he needs to step up.
Did he run away or drive away from the scene?
Not going to be able to get into those kind of details right now. There's some details that we do need to keep close to the chest because our homicide detectives are hard at work. They're going to be at work on this one all night long and until they find the suspect and get him off the street. This is, again, knowing these details and knowing what happened here and knowing that a life was taken, it is hard to put into words. I can't find the right words to describe what this man did to this innocent victim.
Well, there you go, folks. This is like the fifth murder at a Popeye's Chicken in the United States of America in like the last four fucking months over this goddamn new chicken sandwich. And this is the funny part. Listen to this shit. You're going to love this shit for people not living in the States. If you are living in the States, you're going to find this funny as well. Popeye's put out this new chicken sandwich and claimed that they were going to be the direct competition to Chick-fil-A. They claimed they were going to be the direct competition to Chick-fucking-filet, okay? Yeah, right. Popeyes, boy, they're reaching for the gold, aren't they? They're gonna go against Chick-fil-A now. Jesus chicken, fucking white nationalist chicken. Are you fucking kidding me? And by the way, folks, if the Jews media is listening to this broadcast, I'm sure some of them are. I have to say, they've been running these stories on, you know, the Klan ain't as powerful in the United States as it used to be. You know why? They don't have to be, because let me tell you the conspiracy, folks. The Klan secretly runs Popeye's chicken behind the scenes, okay, folks? They don't need to do lynchings or burn crosses anymore. They simply are now running the Popeye's chicken franchise, and they're going to simply erect more Popeye's all over the country in poor neighborhoods and release the chicken sandwich in limited varieties, knowing that at the end of the day, folks, there will be mass mayhem and murder. All you have to do, folks, this is all we have to do. I'm convinced that Popeye's chicken is a white nationalist chicken company. I'm convinced now. I'm fucking convinced. you know, we don't have to do anything anymore. We're just going to put more Popeye's chickens all over the country, and the problem will take care of itself, folks. It'll take care of itself. Just open more Popeye. And by the way, if I ever lose everything, lose all my money, I will do all my podcast in front of a goddamn Popeye's chicken. That would be the best place to do a podcast, a broadcast. By the way, maybe I can convince Sean. You know what? They have Wi-Fi there. They have free Wi-Fi there. Sean, this would be a great show. Let me go into a Popeye's chicken and fucking interview the people eating there. I'm not going to say anything rude, but this would be great. We could do a whole 2 hours of me at a Popeye's chicken. And I'm in Georgia, so I can open carry. So I would definitely open carry into the Popeye's chicken. I got one about 2 miles from me. Dude, I could go in there open carry with the laptop, the headphones. This would be fucking amazing. Who's ever done this? You know, WTFR live at a Popeye's chicken. This would be the best fucking, this would be the most racist radio show ever made in the history of alternative media. And I want to be a fucking part of it. If you can't be famous, folks, be infamous, okay? Let's do a show. I'm going to plan this out, by the way. I know how to talk to the black folks. You know, actually, to tell you the truth, most black guys like me. They're like, hey, man, he's cool. You know, he's a Nazi and shit, but he's okay, man. Shit. At least I know where he stands and shit, man. You know, yeah, fuck, man. He's, shit, I like Farrakhan. Shit, you know. Well, there's the music. Be back on the other side. News white people can use. Popeye and chicken. I go, no, it's okay, you know. I'll figure it out. Just leave me alone. I'll figure it out, you know. I'm just working on myself. They go, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'll be here, you know. And you'll probably feel a lot better if you talk about it.
Inductive logic. Reasoning from specific instances to a general conclusion that is broader than what can be logically inferred from the instances. For example, our observation that the sun rose today, yesterday, and all the days we know about before yesterday gives rise to the conclusion that the sun has always come up and will continue to come up every day, even though this cannot be logically inferred from the known instances. Note, this example will not work for our readers at the North Pole. Contrast, deductive logic. From the book Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar by Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein.
People.
WTFR.
Wasp, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That's what that band means. Wasp. I wanna be somebody to Jews. I wanna be somebody you Jews. But anyway, getting back into Popeye's chicken. So, you know, we had another stabbing. Well, you know, I think a couple months ago it was a,
Yo, man, how many chicken sandwiches you got, nigga? What the fuck are you talking about, fool? You only got two left, and I'm in the fourth. I'm the fourth nigga in line, and this fucking Popeye's chicken motherfucker. You better come up with some goddamn chicken, nigga, quick. Nigga, I'm waiting, man. Where's my fucking chicken sandwich, man? Fuck this. I'm going to Chick-fil-A with them racist crackers over there. I'm getting me some Jesus chicken. Oh, fuck, it's Sunday. God damn it. You got a nigga all fucked up. But anyway. Oh, God. All we have to do to the alt-right white nationalist community, all we have to do is support Popeye's chicken. I'm from now on, personally, every day, I'm going to open carry and go into Popeye's chicken and fucking order. I'm not going to order the chicken sandwich. I'm going to order the dark meat. I'm going to order the dark meat thigh combo. It's an oxymoron, folks. It's a fucking discombobulation. He's a white nationalist, but he likes the dark meat in chicken. Yeah, in chicken, not in women. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I like my coffee like I like my women, with a lot of fucking half and half in it, all right? A lot of fucking cream. But anyway, getting back to Popeye's chicken, I think this would be an amazing breakthrough on our side. If we would be the first network, and I probably shouldn't repeat this because if we tell everybody we're going to broadcast at Popeye's Chicken, then all these other fucking posers will steal the idea and they'll broadcast at Popeye's Chicken. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they don't have the balls or the guns to broadcast a show at Popeye's Chicken. But at WTFR, News White People Can Use, I'm gonna set up the logistics. I'm gonna scout the area out. You know, make sure, you know, what time do the groids smoke Newports in the back of the place at shift change intervals, that kind of thing. And then try to relocate to the front of the place when some of the white people, some of the white trash might show up. And then I'll order a 8-piece dark meat combo. But anyway, yeah, they're still a thing, Shield Maiden. They're still a thing. Unfortunately, they're still a thing. They're a gay thing, but they're still a thing. But anyway, you know, you have to plan this shit out. You can't just walk into a Popeye's as a white guy, you know. You got to be careful. You know, you can't just walk into a Popeye's chicken as a white man and, you know, you gotta scope the area. You gotta do like a reconnaissance first before you do a podcast there. You gotta make sure, okay, Leroy and Tyrone are smoking Newports
about every 2 hour intervals. Oh God. But anyway, so this will be the network that does the first show at a Popeye's Chicken. And I guarantee, Sean, if we don't make the news doing this, I mean, my hope is that CNN, because I live in Atlanta, my hope is that CNN comes down to cover this. You know, I want the headline to be "White Nationalist Does Radio Show at Popeye's Chicken." And then we could run even more traffic to the website. And it would be great. It would be great. They'd lose their fucking minds, wouldn't they? And here's the funny thing. The black people that I know down here, okay? The black people that I know, they're all Farrakhan'd out and all that kind of shit. They would actually probably like my show better than like Anderson Pooper or these fucking fags or Sean Hannity or these fucking faggots over there at Fuck News, Prune Juice Network, or CNN, the Communist News Network. The black guys that I know, believe it or not, a lot of them that I work with actually know my views, and they respect me for it. They respect me, and they agree with me. They're like, yo, man, shit, man, I like the fact that you're a fucking racist, man. Yo, I want to hang out with you now, man. I knew you were racist, man. I won't invite you to any of my parties or anything, but, you know. I'm like, yeah, dude, it's cool. You can be Farrakhan. We'll give you your territory down the road. God damn it. You know, we can work together here. We got these Jews we got to deal with. So actually, I think the Popeye's Chicken Show, if done properly, could be a fucking amazing broadcast, an amazing show. So enough with Popeye's Chicken. I'm done with it. Let's get along, John Silvars. No, I'm just kidding around. It's a bad joke. By the way, I will say one thing before I leave the fast food topic. I have many more topics I want to discuss. But before I leave the fast food topic, I want to say this. This is very important. This is the difference between the reason that Popeye's Chicken and their sandwich can't compete with Chick-fil-A is because of eugenics. Eugenics is the reason why Popeye's Chicken can't compete with Chick-fil-A. You know, when you go to a Popeye's Chicken or a McDonald's, you know, or a fucking Burger King, I don't know what they have in Australia, but you know what I'm saying? Some fucking groided out or abode out fucking fast food, fast Jude restaurant. Here in the States, when we go into a, like, let me give you an example. Where I live in Georgia, it ain't McDonald's. And Shield Maiden probably knows this too in South Carolina. It ain't McDonald's, it's McDonald's. Y'all want to go to McDonald's? We're going to go to McDonald's tonight. Yo, load up in the car, let's all go to McDonald's. Yo, give me something from McDonald's. There's an A in between the M and the C in the redneck areas of the United States. It's not McDonald's, it's fucking McDonald's. But anyway, you go to a McDonald's in the South. Here's the difference between Chick-fil-A. You go to a white nationalist Jesus chicken Chick-fil-A, which I love. I love Chick-fil-A. I'm a fucking white nationalist, and I love Jesus chicken. I love Chick-fil-A. I eat it every fucking day. The only time I really want Chick-fil-A is on Sunday, and I'm always hungover, and they're never open. But anyway, different story. But when you go through a Chick-fil-A, especially where I live in the really white suburbs of gay Atlanta, and you go through a fucking Chick-fil-A, they're like, welcome to Chick-fil-A. How may I serve you? Oh, God, this is great. Oh, Jesus. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blaspheme the chicken. I mean, I'll take the original Chick-fil-A, but I want it deluxe. I want a little lettuce and tomato on it with the waffle fries and your delicious lemonade. You got it. It was a pleasure to serve you, sir. Would you like a newspaper for the day when you come to the window? Abso-fucking-lutely. Oh, I'm sorry. Absolutely. Thank you so much. So you drive to the window and there's this, you know, clean white person, you know, who took a drug test, who probably is already going to fucking technical college or something. And they give you this beautiful piece of white nationalist chicken sandwich. And with these beautiful waffle fries, if you hold them from a distance, if you hold the waffle fries from a distance, they almost look like fucking Swazis embedded in the waffle fry. It's so beautiful. It's fucking amazing. And then they hand you a fucking newspaper. And they go, "It was a pleasure serving you today, sir. Is there anything else I can get for you?" And you go, "No, thank you so much. What a great kid. What a great sandwich. I love the fucking Nazi potato fries. I love the fucking, I'm reading the Atlanta Urinal Constipation now. I can drive away." Now, if you go through a fucking Burger King or a McDonald's, this is what happens. Pull up to, they got like two fucking drive-thrus, right? They got like these dueling fucking, like a fucking race car thing going on at Burger King and Popeyes and McDonald's. And you pull up and they go, "Yo, how can I help you today, crackle?" Oh, shit. I just want the fish sandwich combo. Anything else? I'd like an ice cream cone. Machine fucked up. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. This is how they do it. This is how they fucking... Let me tell you something. You know, at Chick-fil-A, at white nationalist Chick-fil-A, it's... "It was a pleasure servicing you today, sir. How may I be of service to you?" At McDonald's and Burger King and Popeyes, it's, "Fuck you, cracker. The machine fucked up. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead." And then you got some bitch at the drive-thru window when you pull up with fucking these fucking Indian horsehairs from the fucking Pajit store, from the fucking Dune Coon store down the street. With the fucking horsehair, with fucking Big Mac and fucking Popeye's chicken pieces hanging out of their fucking 10-day-old fucking weave, smelling like fucking cocoa butter, with fucking 10-foot-long fucking press-on nails, serving you a fucking sandwich that looks like fucking Haitian shit on a fucking roll. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm gonna eat this shit? What is up with this? Anyway, fuck fast food. Fuck Fast Jude. Let me get on to the next story, which I find very interesting. I'm going to shatter some minds tonight in this show. I'm going to shatter some... Oh, by the way, before I get the next episode, Burger King. Can you believe this? Burger King, the home of the Whopper, nigga, has got a new Whopper that's all supposedly plant-based. For those in the States, have you seen this commercial? Unbelievable. Burger King now has a Whopper that's the plant-based Whopper. I guess this is the Renegade Broadcasting fucking hamburger. This is the Cyanide Broadcasting fucking hamburger. It consists of plants and a lot of fucking hate. Plants and a lot of fucking hate. Plants and a lot of fucking self-hatred. Plants and a low self-esteem. Plants and a little bit of mayonnaise. Plants and a lot of low self-esteem. Anyway, moving on. Let me get to this next story, which I find fucking amazing. You know, I've always told people for years, never to fall into the trap of being part of the right or the left. Because the right wing and the left wing are two wings of the same Jew bird of prey. This is what I call the Hegelian dialectic. Forget the Hegelian dialectic. We're now talking about the Hegelian dialectic. And under the Hegelian dialectic, you know, the way it works is you put up a fake right dialect and a fake left dialect, extreme right, extreme left, and you decimate the center. And let me just say this tonight in the broadcast while I'm breaking down this next topic, is that Germany really was a centrist state. National socialism was in the center. It was not really right nor left. Fascism, you could argue, was right. Communism was left. they were actually in the center. That's why they had to be destroyed, because they were not part of the extreme right, extreme left, Hegelian dialectic. They were rational. They were in the radical center. National Socialism was actually a radical centrist movement. It was a logical, scientific movement that had to be destroyed. And the same thing has been done to this country, okay? And they programmed our people to fall for this fake left-right paradigm. But the center doesn't exist anymore. The logical, rational center just does not exist anymore. Under the Hegelian dialectic, you cut the bagel.
You cut the bagel. There's the right. There's the left. There's no center. The center is you giving me your fucking money. Give me the money. I take the money in the middle. You get the right lox, the right lox bagel. You get the left cream cheese and lox bagel, and I get all your fucking money, you fucking goy.
So that's the Hegelian dialectic. There is no center. They literally cut out the center by slicing down the center of their fucking bagel. The Hegelian dialectic, folks. And I will be talking about this every fucking week. The Hegelian dialectic. Fuck Hegel. It's bagel. It's the Hegelian dialectic. So their goal, in order to bringing in world Zionism, world Judaism, world communism, was to destroy the center in all of the European nations and in the West completely. Okay? To destroy the center. The center. Because, you know, the Aryan race, the white people, are people of logic, people of reason. Okay? We don't like to fall into left-right paradigms. We believe in philosophies that benefit our people, that make sense scientifically, biologically, ethnically. We don't fall for emotionalism. That's why we have to be destroyed, you see. That's why we have to be destroyed as a race, because we don't really fall for emotions the same way that other races do. We rely on a lot of logic. They don't want logic. They want emotional fucking slave races that will do what they're told to do in their oy vey fucking corporations. That's what they want globally, multinationally. That's what they want, okay? So what they've created here is this extreme right, extreme left, and it's both Judaic controlled. It's both two birds of the same prey, of the Judaic bird of prey. And in the meanwhile, logic, sanity, and reason has been totally destroyed. And that gets me into this next topic. Here is where I'm going to make an announcement that's going to shock a lot of people. Virginia, we had an election on Tuesday. And in the state of Virginia, it has now become completely Democratic. This is a big deal in the United States of America, because Virginia used to be a Southern conservative state up until about 5-6 years ago. Now it's become completely overtaken with Jews and the Washington, D.C. suburbs and all this kind of thing. And the first thing they're going to do, they announced they're going to do, they took over the Congress and the Senate there, is they want to pass the ERA amendment, the Equal Rights Amendment for Women, which they tried to pass in the 1920s in America and then again in the 70s, and it failed both times. But they have these feminist groups now on their side. They have Antifa on their side. They now want to pass the ERA. And I'm going to shock you tonight. Mike Sledge is in favor. I am in favor of the ERA amendment for the whole United States. Because you see, here's the deal. In 1972, they fucking passed a resolution. You can't amend the Constitution unless you have 37 states involved in the amendment. They already have 35. And now South Dakota said they would be 36, and now Virginia, Tuesday night, announced that they will be 37. And it doesn't matter how many years, they can now add that on, and they can make the ERA amendment law in the United States of America, and the right wing in this country, the GOP is freaking out. Oh my God, the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment for women, they're going to have the same rights as men. And this is the way the Jews want you to think. The Jew mass media wants you to be against the ERA, but I'm not falling for the Jew Hegelian dialectic poison. I am going to be for the ERA, and here's why. I've read the ERA amendment, and I have it right here in my formerly nicotine-stained hands. It says, listen to this. Under the Equal Rights Amendment for women, they would have the exact same protections under the judicial system as the man does under the current judicial system today. And the same rights would therefore be afforded to them in such cases and proclivities as deemed necessary based upon legal precedent. And then it breaks it down. I've read the whole thing. This is important to understand for you guys out there. Under the ERA, if you're in California and you get a divorce, they have alimony in California, by the way. If you get a divorce in California and you've been married for over 5 years, your wife, your ex-wife can get 20% of what your total income is for the rest of her life. You have to pay this bitch for the rest of her life. Under the ERA, this goes away because it says that no earnings shall be given to the other party, regardless of sex, based upon discrimination or discrepancy, which means that she can't get alimony's gone. It will become unconstitutional under the ERA. Also, if the woman in the marriage makes more money than the man and she divorces you, guess what? You can get child support. The man can get fucking child support. God damn it. I love this ERA. You know what? This bill was obviously not written by a bunch of good looking women with great vaginas. This was written by a bunch of fucking dyke women who have never been with a man ever in their life. And this is the most beautiful thing I've ever been handed. I'm looking at here right now. This is fucking great. I love this lesbian bill. They're so stupid. They're not going to have any kids anyway. This is great. I hope the ERA amendment passes. No more alimony. Shit, I might be getting child support now. Can we make this fucking retroactive? I wonder if this could be made retroactive so I can get back child support now. Anyway, folks, just kidding around. But honestly, this is in the bill if you read it. That's why it's not going to pass. That's why it failed in the 20s. It'll fail in blah, blah, blah. But anyway. Here's another interesting story in news that white people. Oh, by the way, let me get into this. The observations of the day. Every week when I do this show here on WTFR, I'm going to either do a top 10 list, like a Jewish David Letterman used to do, or I'm going to do what I call the observations of the day. So I have my observations of the day today. This is my observations of the day, okay? Observations of the day. Most women who can't cook, okay? This is about most women that can't cook. Most women who are afraid of the kitchen and who make fun of other women in the kitchen are just mad because they can't cook. I stand behind that statement, by the way. I stand behind that fucking statement. And by the way, most men who are married to women who can't cook are men who are horrible in bed and who really don't know how to fuck. Because if they knew how to fuck, they'd have a woman that would be cooking for them after they had sex. Because they know what they're fucking doing, you know? It's like, you hear these cucks out there all the time. They're like, oh my God, my wife never cooks anything. I'm always in the kitchen. I'm always slaving and cooking her breakfast. I'm cooking her fucking dinner. Because, dude, you suck in bed, you know? You suck in fucking bed. You know, you married a woman who just simply wants you to cook for her. You're now in the fucking kitchen. you're barefoot, and now with the transgender, he's going to be barefoot in the kitchen pregnant. Can you believe this shit? Oh, my God, Kyle, I feel so bad for you. I feel so horrible for you, man. If you can lay down the law in bed, your woman has no problem making you a fucking omelet. You hear what I'm saying? Has no problem making you a fucking omelet. All right? You can't get it up. You have fucking ED or something. You know, I mean, what the fuck is, you know, you're some cucked out guy in a fucking Oregon sweater. Let me tell you something. You're going to be in the kitchen cooking for her, and she's going to be fucking her boss at work. And that's just the facts of life, my friend. That's my observation of the day. Oh, by the way, that's why, listen to this. Here's my other observation of the day. That's why vegan, lesbian, feminist women are afraid of the kitchen. They don't know how to properly handle meat. That's why vegan, feminist women are afraid of the kitchen, because they don't know how to properly handle meat. On the other side of the equation. So if you have a wife that cooks for you, you ought to be proud of yourself, because that means you're great in bed and you make her happy. And I don't care what women tell you. They always lie. They always lie. They'll never tell you the truth. They want an orgasm just as much as you do. And if you give it to them really well, like every white man should do, they will make you a fucking omelet. They will make you a fucking omelet. I swear to God they will. Trust me. By the way, here's my other observation of the day. I guess that makes sense about Renegade Broadcasting, doesn't it? I mean, she's never in the kitchen. He's always cooking, and she's always complaining, you know? It makes total sense. Ring Grenade Broadcasting, you know? That's why, you know what? Women that are vegans are simply vegans because they can't fucking cook. They suck in the kitchen. You hand them a fucking lamb chop, they don't know what to fucking do with it. They're sitting there going, like, you know, it's like you're doing bet. So, you know, what are we having for dinner tonight, honey? We're having a peanut butter and jelly microgreen salad. Get the fuck out of here. A peanut butter and jelly microgreen salad? Oh, my God. Oh, please. So that's why they're afraid of the kitchen. The women, the feminist women and the vegan women are only vegan and feminist, and they hate other women. They hate traditional women who are good in the kitchen because they can't cook and they can't fuck. It's the bottom line. Or their cook guy can't do it either, but he can cook. He can't cook in bed, but he can cook in the kitchen. Yo, baby, I can't get it up, but I can make you a mean fucking omelet. Anyway, so that's my observations for today for the feminist movement. Think you'll like that. Getting on to the next topic, which is a very serious topic, by the way, something that I am very concerned about, that that really has broke my heart, and that is and this is serious. I've joked around all night, but I want to end the show on a serious note. We now have 9 Americans murdered and burned alive just 70 miles south of the Arizona-Mexican border in the United States of America. And the Jew media, what have they done? The Jew media laughs and mocks this. I've looked at the pictures of these women and their kids that were executed, tortured, and burned alive by Mexican cartel gangs just 70 miles. And these were Mormons. And I'm not a Mormon, okay? I don't like Mormonism. I think Mormonism is another form of Judaism, but I don't give a fuck. These kids were white kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, the common sense of veganism. There's some vegans out there that have chickens but don't eat eggs, right? Well, what the fuck do they have them there for? What, just to molt? Jesus Christ. Imagine if one laid an egg. Bad chicken. Bad chicken. How dare you create something that people can eat? You're as bad as that cow that gets milked across the street. Bad chicken. Fuck. I mean, really, ladies and gentlemen, where has the common sense gone? It's gone to hell. Her only novel, Wuthering Heights, published a year before her death in 1848 at the age of 30, stands as perhaps the most intensely original work in the English language. In it, Emily Bronte records the story of the passionate love between Catherine Earnshaw and the wild Heathcliff, with such truth, imagination and emotional intensity that A Plain Tale of the Yorkshire Moors acquires the depth and simplicity of ancient tragedy. Anybody who has read Wuthering Heights, written by Emily Bronte, knows full well that Heathcliff comes across as a Spanish wild gypsy boy. So why on earth was there a black playing the part of Heathcliff in the latest film?
We're in trouble all the time. You read about us all in the papers. We walk around and bump into walls. A blind delegation. And we ain't afraid of high power. We're bulletproof. And we never hide our eyes and our physical power. Justice and truth. We're the Department.
Sorry about that, Mike. There was a bit of a bugger up there because it's a new lineup. Go ahead, sir.
Well, damn, I was doubting my professionalism. I've done a lot of radio, and I'm pretty good with these hard breaks, but god damn it.
That was pretty tough, wasn't it?
I was like, I'm talking about Mormons and fucking armored cars, and all of a sudden it's...
Yeah.
Bad Chicken.
Yeah, we had the new Bad Chicken break come up out of nowhere, and I was like, where did that come from? Go ahead, mate.
By the
mate.
Way, Sean, I love the new Bad Chicken thing. I think it's fucking amazing.
There we go. All right, you enjoy the rest of your show, mate. Sorry about that.
All right, man. Yeah, that snuck up on me. I was like, god damn, I'm starting to doubt my radio talent. I was like, maybe I should just drink a fifth of Fireball and fucking shoot up smack and quit doing this white thing, you know? I fucking, you know, when you do radio for a long time and you miss a break like that, it's really embarrassing. You're like, you're talking and all of a sudden you hear gold from the time of Moses.
Just to interrupt you for a second, you weren't the one who missed that break. I was. I've got to recode that part.
Sean, stay on with me for a second. Okay. Stay on with me. This is important.
All right.
You remember an oracle used to be a guy that had, like, coins from the time of Moses.
I know.
So he sent me a nasty email one time saying he didn't like me and what Charles Giuliani was doing with the anti-Semitism or whatever.
Of course, because they were Jews. There were a lot of advertisements were Jewish. That's why.
Yeah. So I said, obviously, you're selling gold from the time of Moses, and Moses never even fucking existed.
Moses parted the water, right? Like, and I'm like, do you people really fucking believe this shit? You know, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, yeah, no worries, you fucking twit.
Moses parted the bagel with an iron staff. At Lipschitz Einstein's Deli.
Right. Jesus Christ. The world we live in.
The splitting of the Red Sea was simply Moses getting horny when his wife was on the rag. Are you kidding me?
I know.
I'm splitting the Red Sea over here. Give me a break. Sorry, that's horrible.
The Red Sea with a golden tampon. Like, fuck. I mean, seriously. It's fucking ridiculous.
Well, let me tell you something. I got a welt from the Bible Belt. And let me tell you something. Down here, it ain't ridiculous at all. It's like, you get drunk at a bar down here and it's like, hey, what was that you just said, man? You're not Italian, are you? Are you making fun of the Bible? The Bible? You know what I'm saying? You're making fun of that shit, man? I'm in the rodeo, motherfucker, and I'll fucking whip your ass and I'll beat you down for 12-gauge Winchester. Motherfucker, you talking to me?
Are you talking to me? Well, I think you're talking to me because I'm the only motherfucker that's in here.
No, it's like this. Now, here's how you get away with it. You go, hey, I know you're talking to me, and I did that on purpose just to make you question your own religion so you'd come to my new fucking delicatessen, Lipschitz Bagels. Come on, split the Red Sea with me.
The Lipschitz anyway. Bagels, motherfucker. Did you ever see that? I can't believe this has turned into a Mike and Sean show already. But
Let's rock it out. The last right. Minutes,
did you Come ever on. See that Mel Gibson thing? They tried to imitate Mel Gibson and saying "Oy vey" on YouTube. It was one of the funniest fucking things I'd ever seen. They tried to make him look like he's anti-Semitic. However, it was so comedic that everybody laughed at the Jews that did it. It was that stupid. It was that fucked up.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love that meme about Mel Gibson. It's a, if you want to know about the Jews, buy this man a drink. Yeah. It's a picture of Mel Gibson.
I know. Shit, I better let you get back to your show, sir. I didn't mean to intervene. It's just because of that break.
I don't give a fuck, Sean. You're talking to me. I don't give a fuck, dude. We're gonna let this shit roll out however it rolls out, however it rolls out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and Maiden is actually in the chat room saying, we don't want your dreidels, because that's what they were saying in that thing where they were trying to imitate Mel Gibson. We don't need your dreidels or your bagels, you know? Because...
Dude, I'm telling you, what Mel Gibson needs to engage in is what I talked at the beginning of the show. Food genocide.
Yeah.
Food genocide. Here's the new, folks, if you're listening, all over the world, Buffalo, New York, the Aussie Alpines, on the internet, here's what you need to do. Fuck protesting or being in politics. We need to create, in your community, get together a group, a white nationalist flash mob to go into a Jewish deli or maybe Korean barbecue, or I like the Japanese, so leave them out of it. I have the utmost respect for the Japanese. Leave them out of it. Or maybe an Ethiopian restaurant.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Remember Will Roberts, before he passed away? He was on Oracle as well. And one of his show was called Become Vocal Local. And the reason being is because you walk into your local stores, you walk into your local council, and you say to them straight out, hey, listen, no, this is not what our town represents. We are for white people being white people. We don't need Asians coming across here. And I disagree with you a little bit when it comes to the Japanese. I do respect them in their own country. I don't respect them here, though. They don't need to be here. Yeah. But the thing is, he was Become Vocal Local. He was like, okay, look, you get into your councils, you get into your local stores, you go into your local supermarkets, you put up signs saying, we need to become vocal local. We become vocal about our local institution. And it worked. It worked for him. Unfortunately, he passed away way too early. He ended up with a cancer that was appeared out of nowhere. You probably remember Will Roberts from Oracle.
Oh, I loved his show. I actually got the chance to talk to him offline.
Yep.
Because I loved the show so much. I thought he was brilliant. A great guy. A fucking intellectual, by the way.
He was borderline genius. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely borderline genius. Wait, fuck, he was genius. But
yeah,
Vocal Local
much.
Was a great show. A great fucking show. And it shocked me the day he died. I couldn't believe it. I was like...
None of us could, because it come out of nowhere. I had Doug Owen all of a sudden write me and just say, Sean, just letting you know that Will Roberts died. I said, no, you sure you got the right person? Because he was fit as a fiddle. And he said, no. It turns out his daughter just contacted me and said that, or his niece, I think it might have been his niece, and said that he had cancer. And it hit him quick, hard and fast, and bye-bye. I was like, what the? I'm glad I've got some of his recordings still.
Yeah, I have his shows downloaded in a flash drive that I still have because I thought they were brilliant shows. The thing I thought was brilliant about Will Roberts' shows was they were the original libertarian local activism, not like the gay-ass libertarian shit you have today.
Yeah, yeah.
But the original, like, you know, the original intent stuff was good.
The proper conservative stuff rather than the neoconservative bullshit.
Yeah.
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 Exactly, man.
No, he was great. He was great. Listen, I've just got to let everybody know that I've been really enjoying your show. I've been laughing my ass off all night. And I thought, yep, I knew that's what's going to come of this. I thought, yep.
I hope it's not too bad.
No, you know? It's fucking fantastic. You're saying it as you see it. You say it in your own words. There's you know, some people might try and jump on the whole, this is degenerate because he uses bad language. Oh, you know what? Fucking get over it. Bad language has been used since the ancient Greek days. You know, so, yeah.
Look, am I supposed to be an anti-Semite with good language now?
Exactly, right? Are we really supposed?
Sean, I'm going to fucking end up like Jared Taylor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I try to do this whole, and I could, I have a college degree, I could easily do this. I could easily go, well, they look white to me, and I was reading Julius Evola the other day, and I realized that the whole Germanic perspective of the diagraphic escapade of the whole eschatarian economic sect of linguistic economic zones are now not allowed to be talked about.
And therefore...
I mean, fuck that! Dude, what am I going to do?
And therefore, you know what, not... Oh, Jews are bad people. You know what? I'm so sick to death of hearing that shit. When people like Jared Taylor start saying, not all Jews are... I'm just going, fuck you, all right? We know that if they bear the title Jew, then they are not a part of our clan. They're not a part of our race, our culture. Because... anybody who bears the title Jew is the same as a person that bears the title pedophile. Would any one of us bear the title pedophile? No. Why not? Well, because being a pedophile is a bad fucking thing. Well, if you read the Babylonian Talmud, the translate, you fast realize that labeling yourself a Jew is a bad fucking thing, given that they actually endorse pedophilia. So why would you do it? So every time someone says to me, Mike, that, I'm not one of those Jews, I'm saying fucking bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a Jew, you're a fucking person who reads the Babylonian Talmud. That's the only way you can be a Jew. So don't bullshit me. You know? Fuck
Sammy them. Davis Jr. was a Jew.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he agreed with the Talmud. I'm the Candyman can.
Right?
All the Talmud pedophile can. I got a glass eye, baby. So, I mean, you know, look. If you say, even if you are of that bloodline or whatever, but if you say that I am Jewish, then you are labeling yourself with this degeneracy.
Yep.
You are labeling yourself with the Talmud in this fucking problem.
You're labeling yourself with the Talmud. You're labeling yourself with the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. You're labeling yourself with Kabbalistic so-called magic and the Kabbalah in general. You know, all of this other degenerate shit. If you want to go down that way, then we will treat you that fucking way. Don't come to our face and tell, like, that fucking fucking piece of shit, what's his name, that was on Oracle at the time, and he was on, yeah, I always forget his name, because he's worthless. Anyway, that Jewish piece of shit that was sitting there saying, I'm not a Jew, just because my parents are a Jew, I'm not a Jew, and my Jewish parents...
Oh, the Bob Tuscan show.
Tuscan, yeah. Oh, fuck. You know, like, what a joke, he's a fucking Jew. He had Jewish parents, he acted like a Jew, he looked like a Jew, and guess what? He spoke like a Jew. Don't fucking try and fool us.
Funny, and, go,
And as JB says in the chat room, he says, it's in their DNA. It's the whole scorpion and the frog situation. You know, where the scorpion comes along and says, can you let me jump on your back to get across the river? And the frog goes, no, not a fucking chance, because you'll sting me. And it says, no, why would I sting you? Because we both sink. Well, then the fucking scorpion jumps on the frog, because the frog says, okay, yeah, you're right. And then as they get halfway across, the scorpion stings the frog. And as they're slowly sinking, the frog says, why did you do that? Now we both die. He says, because it's in my fucking makeup. It's in my DNA. That's a fucking Jew.
Let me tell you, get back to the Bob Tuscan show. I was a guest in the show one time, you know, and he got mad at me. And he goes, well, I disagree. And this is what he did. No joke. This is like the Jew thing, the Jew thinking bebop thing he did. He goes, I'm here with Mike Sledge, and we'll be back after the break.
My name,
and I said, God damn it, what am I on? The fucking Jerry Lewis telethon over here? What the fuck is this? What is Don Rickles coming on next? What, you going to bring home some fucking Jew kid in the fucking wheelchair? What do you offer me over here?
Yeah, exactly. It's like we'll be my name's we'll be back blue Jew.
Blue Jews.
I see you standing alone.
Bird is the Jew. Bird is the Jew.
I know. Crazy shit. Absolutely crazy shit. I don't want to take up all your time, mate. Like, if you wanted me to stay on, that's cool. But otherwise, you go right ahead and finish your show.
I actually want you to stay on because, you know, this is my maiden show on your network. And it's an honor to be on your network. And I actually want you to stay on with me for the last segment here because, you know, I want to pay tribute to you. I think you had a great fucking network, a great platform. And I want to go over this next couple of news stories with you and get your opinion as well. I think it'd be interesting.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Like, look, as far as I'm concerned, you've already paid tribute to me because you've done already such a great show. Like, it was only my break that screwed up because, as you know, you're a new lineup, and I've obviously reprogrammed something bad.
I don't give a fuck, John.
Yeah, right.
You know
I know. But the thing is, I'm more than happy to kick around with you.
Okay, so this is the other topic I want to talk about was let me find it here. I got it written down in my show notes. Which is actually amazing. Let me find it. Pull it up here. Oh, God. It was so important. Yes! Animals now getting... already covered the orangutan thing. But this is another story. Animals now being declared and being legally personhooded in 8 countries. There you go.
Illegally what?
Legally being given personhood in 8 countries.
Oh, that's going to be
so
fun, isn't it?
So this goes into the vegan shit that we talked about before.
Yeah.
And that whole left-wing agenda with veganism is that they're going to – this is going to give – and by the way, I have to say at least before I get your opinion on this that – I'd rather live – you know what? If they're going to give this orangutan personhood status, I'd much rather live next to the orangutan than a groid.
Yeah, right? Or a fucking kike or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, like, you know
yeah,
what?
I'd
you
much rather live next actually, to a fucking spider monkey or an orangutan
I could actually,
Jew
I could actually put
nigger.
Up
– anyway.
I could put up with waking up in the morning hearing compared to,
yeah.
Yo, what's up, motherfucker?
No,
give me my KCs.
Oh, man. My brother just got stabbed at Popeye's Chicken, nigga. Are you kidding me, man? The cops ain't doing shit about it. They say it's a mystery, unsolved mysteries, man. Shit. That nigga got stabbed eating that last fucking Popeye's Chicken sandwich, man.
And who fucking burned down my KFCs? Well, it was that motherfucking nigga over there that said, burn that shit down! Burn that shit down, because we didn't do nothing! That's who fucking burned your fucking KFC down. No, give me the orangutan.
When they burn a KFC down?
Oh, it was in, what do you call it? Maiden knows it in the chat room. She'll remind me. It was
I have never heard of a black person burning down a KFC. They
burn the whole shit down. They burn the whole shit down. Get this one, Mike. When they were in what was it called? Maiden in the chat room will remind me, where they were in that town and they burned near on the whole street down. Ferguson, that's right. Thanks, Maids. Ferguson riots. What happens is they end up burning the KFC down. They burn the whole lot down. But you know what? And they also stole everything they possibly could. But you know what? Not one pair of work boots went missing.
But all of the chicken was gone.
The chicken was fucking gone, man. It was gone the day before they burned it down. And then
the fucking Michael Brown riots, the Ferguson riots.
In
Missouri. I call it misery today. Misery. Oh,
misery.
God damn it.
Yeah. It's fucking misery. Yeah, that was the Michael Brown thing. And that they said straight up, my boy didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. That's why we call them the Dindus, you know.
Oh, yeah. They didn't do nothing, man.
Yeah, they didn't do nothing.
Here's the funny thing. Where I live, down the street from me, I see Dindus fighting with Hindu, which is the new website I want to copyright. You have World Star Hip Hop? I want to copyright Dindus fighting with Hindu. Dude, I would be a multi. I would be bigger than Donald fucking Trump at this point.
we could write a fucking song about that. We could write a song about that. Dindus versus Hindus.
Maybe we could copyright this website, Sean. Dindus fighting. You know, you have like a dothead, you know, Dune Coon sand nigger store, right? And you have these niggers coming in to shop, and the guy at the counter's like, hold up. You're going to buy something? You've been here for 4 hours. You bought nothing. You bought nothing. You never buy even Big Gulp. Big Gulp, you bought nothing. You fucking nigger, you bought nothing. Yo, man. Who the fuck are you, man? You think you Osama bin Laden, nigga? I'm in here looking for some fucking toilet paper for my fucking family home.
You know what's going to happen? There's going to be some form of rhyme made. Like, you Hindu, but you didn't do nothing. You didn't buy nothing.
Dude, I'm telling you, we could be fucking millionaires if we fucking copyright this now, Sean.
I know.
Versus Hindu.
Oh shit!
If
yeah.
we go to these fucking stores in the hood with cameras, like kind of like World Star Hip Hop, and fucking film Dindus and Hindus fucking arguing with each other over shoplifting and shit in the store all day.
you can't make this shit up.
Fucking millions of hits for this shit.
You can't make this shit up. Seriously, I didn't do nothing, and him didn't do nothing. Hindu, hold on a second. What the fuck? Are you just working together now? Oh, we've got to do this more.
Man.
We've got to do this more often. I tell you,
I hate the fact that I'm even releasing this fucking concept because somebody's going to steal it. The next thing you know, the fucking alt kike will have a show called Dindu versus Hindu, and they'll be making $1 million, and we'll be sitting here jacking our dicks with nothing.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen is because fucking Frodo and Tinia. Bile and Grenade, because Frodo and Tinia are listening to this show every fucking, these shows every day, they're going to go, hey, we could capitalize on what they're saying now. We're going to do the Dindu and the Hindu thing.
Dude, they're going to fucking steal our idea.
Yeah.
Thing you know.
I know.
They're going to have a show called, like, I'm up, this is a cyanide, and like, whatever, and like, I'm a Nazi, and like, welcome to the first show of like Dindu versus Hindu, and I'm not talking about my ex-boyfriends, okay?
And apparently Frodo's one of her ex-boyfriends, because I heard rumors that they sleep in separate beds. How fucking fucked up is that? I mean, like, if you're a couple...
Well, I wouldn't want to sleep with her either, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, good point.
I got you, babe.
I always like the joke where, you know...
In the gas chamber and the beat goes on.
I always like the joke
and
where...
the beat goes on.
Where you chew
Thank
your
you,
fucking...
Where you, I had to roll with it.
I like the old joke where you chew your fucking own arm off after you've realized that you fucking slept with her. Like, could you imagine waking up beside fucking Tenia, Sinead, and just seeing your arm around her neck and then realizing what she is? What kind, like,
well, that's why you would chew off your left arm so you never could jack off again thinking about it.
I mean, she's fucking Gollum now. If you've seen one of her latest photos, she looks like Gollum. So I'd be like, fucking, oh, that's it. Right? Just bite into my own fucking arm.
She looks like a bad version of Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex and the City.
She looks like a bad version of fucking venereal disease, is what she looks like.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
well,
it's
now
terrible.
That we got that cleared up. And the beat goes on.
You know
and
what?
The beat goes on.
This can't be good for us. You and I are fucking really nasty together. We really are. So, people are going to listen to this and go, these two are just really fucking nasty. And we go, yep, we fucking are.
You know, you only live once. And I want to give it all. Give it my all, man.
Yeah. Look, hey, I look at it this way. Correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, we've only got a couple of minutes, but correct me if I'm wrong. If a person is respectful to us, you and I are respectful to them. In fact, we'll give them a tilt of the hat, we'll call them ma'am or sir. But when they're assholes and when the world is an asshole, we let the world have it and we let them have it in a really disrespectful way. Hence why we use bad language. If the world was a better place, we probably wouldn't be using bad language. It's not rocket science.
I agree. It's, you know, there's an old quote from a writer that said, in an insane world, a sane man must himself appear to be insane.
That was like Albert Camus. You know, the only way to be, something along those lines. The only way to, you've only got about a minute left. I want to let you get your websites out there. Thanks for having me on, by all means. And Sledge, great.
Well, my only website that matters now is yours. So thanks for having me on.
Great show, by the way. Great show, by the way.
And I want to say to all you listening out there, WTFR, every Thursday I will be here. And I thank Sean so much for giving me the opportunity. It's been an honor on this maiden voyage. And we'll see you. I'll be back. Never.
Well, we're happy, Merton. You've been called out on so many levels. What do you have to say for yourself these days? Is that all you've got to say for yourself?
I was one of the chosen few to be born in Alabama. I'm just like my daddy's son. I'm proud of who I am. I went through a lot of good women. Shook old Jim Beam's hand. If I never see the pearly gates, I've walked through the promised land. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't wanna go. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I'd just as soon stay home. If they don't have a grand old Opry like they do in